I was advised against it, so I'm not going to pogo stick today. Although I think it can handle it, but you know, I don't want to go through the baptismal. It was one of my props. If you haven't figured it out yet, we're talking about children today. As a matter of fact, you know, there's been a lot of children in my life lately, and even part of my testimony, if you know it, involves children. And we're at that season now where from Thanksgiving to Christmas, it's all about the kids. Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, I need you. We need you every day, Lord, every hour, every minute. Lord, I ask you, hide me behind your cross, Lord, that your word, that your precious holy word, Lord, from the book, from the Bible that you gave us, comes to everyone, Lord, that touches us, that it guides us. Lord, more importantly, if there's somebody not saved here today, let today be the day that they know you. For those who are saved, Lord, let it just be a reminder. In your name we pray. All right, so the main body of the text is Luke 18:15. I'll read the whole text in a second, but specifically where the Lord says, let the children come to me. And like I said earlier, my salvation included children. When I went to Nicaragua looking for my earthly father, I found my heavenly father. And I'll share that with you some other day. But children are very special to me. My wife and I have 6 children together. We have 3 from my first marriage. We have 2 of our own. We adopted Cherise. We became a Brady Bunch with 6 kids. And if you see up there, there's a little one up there. No, it's not mine. It's my grandchild. Recently had a grandbaby. Pretty cool. And recently, Josh came to Christ. And, you know, I think most parents sometimes question when real little kids come to Christ. And so the question was, well, was he too young? And, you know, I talked to Randy and I read the book. And, you know, everything about the Bible tells me that there's never too young. As a matter of fact, I want to make 2 points today. One, you're never too young to come to Christ. Never. And no, we keep our kids upstairs, and that's because we teach them from a very young age. It's never too young to learn about the Christ. It's never too late either. And also, the other point I want to make is that when we come to Christ, if you remember when you did come to Christ, you were like a little child, weren't you? We're humble. We repented. And we looked to our Father like when we were little kids. And today, haven't done a good job yet, I want to remind you, look around you. I want to remind you what it was like when you were a child, if that is possible. For some of us who are quite mature, it might be a little harder. For some of you young kids, it might not be that long ago. I might just share some thoughts with you as far as what it was like to be a child and why it is that the Lord is telling us that we have to come to him like a child. Let me read the main text first. In Luke 18:15, people were also bringing babies to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to him and said, "Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive I try to tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." He's saying you must receive him like a little child. Now, we know the Bible tells us we must be saved. We must be born again. And there's several examples of where the Bible shows us how to be born again. But Christ right here is telling us, hey, if you want to be born again, if you want to come to me, be like a little child. So I wrote some qualities of children. And by the way, footnote, when I say be childlike, like a little child, doesn't mean childish. We can be childish sometimes, but we don't want to be childish. The Bible tells us we don't want to drink milk all the time. We want to be mature in Christ. That's not what I'm talking about. These are childlike qualities that throughout the Bible, even to believers, he's reminding us to be like that. Let me just run through some of these. Children are often full of faith, full of hope and love. My favorite ones are carefree. They're fearless. They're full of joy. They're content. Fully dependent on us, aren't they? Fully dependent on their parents. Moldable, coachable, humble. Nothing like a child that makes a mistake that comes to you and says, I'm sorry. How can you not forgive your child? Forgive me, Father. I've heard that before. My son knows that all he has to do is repent. I'm going to love him and forgive him. Some of us come to Christ at a very old age. Some come at a very young age. Like I said, there's been a lot of children recently saved. Josh, not the only one. I know Elaney and a few of the kids here, Kai Kai and Audrey, they've all been saved at a very young age. We should never question that. Can you still remember what it's like to be a child? Before we consider ourselves self-made, self-reliant, independent, selfish. As a matter of fact, I wonder when it was, I don't remember, probably a teenager, but when was it that we started feeling like we knew everything, or like we don't need the parents? Yeah, you know, these kids grow up, they go to college, they get married, but they still need us. I don't remember when I went from being a happy little kid to a grumpy old man, but it happens without Christ, it happens. You know, we're taught in school, we're taught everywhere that you got to pick yourself up from the bootstraps, that we don't need anybody, that you can do it on your own. That's not what the Bible says. So let's look at a few of these qualities real quick. And I want just a side note. In the Greek word, when he's talking about children in this passage, because, you know, in Greek there's a lot of different words that there's no English version of it. Children is children, but in Greek there's different versions of it. And in this passage, the word is brevos. That's where you get the word brevity or brief. That's because they're in this world a very short time. They just got here. They're full of faith, aren't they? Like the centurion. They just believe. You tell your kids something, they believe you. They don't question you. They're full of faith, full of belief, full of hope and love. They have so much hope and love in them that they can't help but to share. Josh and Annalise were going to the academy, Christian Academy, but Josh, for reasons of that they had a better program for his anxiety, he had to go to public school. And honestly, I questioned that. I was like, Lord, why are you making him go to public school when I had him in private school for so long? Why? I was trying to protect my kids. Don't we want to protect our kids sometimes? I think sometimes to their detriment. You know, sometimes we overprotect them. I don't know why. Randy and Natalie counseled with us, and we're like, I guess he's got to go to public school. But I don't know what the outcome was going to be. Well, you know what? It didn't take him long to go to public school and talk to all his friends about Christ. Before we knew it, he's talking to his best friend, Lainey, about Christ, and we've got the family coming here. Who knows how many more? Just like when Ms. Sean DeSilva shared with my wife at an after-school teacher conference. She was brave enough as a grown-up, not as a child, but she had a childlike love and hope for people. Most teachers just get it over with. But no, not Shawna. She still has a childlike love and hope for people that she wants to share with those. And if she hadn't taken the step of courage and shared, who knows where we would be today. The Lord used her. He's using kids. He's used Joshua. He uses your children. They can be mightily used. My favorite one is carefree. Wow. Do you remember what it's like to be carefree, not to worry about the bills, not to worry about what's for dinner, going shopping? It was pretty nice. I mean, it's Christmas during a time that I really remember. You know, we look back. Maybe that's why we love Christmas so much. It brings out the child in us. Not a worry in the world. Carefree, totally carefree. They knew, they know, that the mother and father have everything under control. 1 Peter 5, 6 and 8 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Can you cast all your anxiety on him? Can you be carefree? See, these are reminders. For those of us who have been saved, maybe we've been saved a long time ago, and we forget. And sometimes, you know, when we first get saved, you give it all to the Lord. And then sometimes, you know, we forget and we try to take something back. We worry about our work, worry about a sickness. Kids don't worry about it. Isn't it amazing when you see a child and you see those commercials like St. Jude's and children have cancer? They don't worry. They don't. We all know Philippians 4, 6 through 8 is one of my favorite ones. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Through Christ Jesus. See, if you're saved, you know that you can put all your cares onto Christ. You can be carefree. Let today be a reminder for you. Be carefree. Don't worry about Monday's work. Don't worry about health. You know what? Lord's going to take us when he's going to take us. The Bible says that my days are numbered. He knows exactly when I'm going to go to heaven. So why should I worry about it? Kids are fearless, are they not? You know, recently my little boy started riding a bike again. He had no interest in the bike until he saw how good Carter could ride his bike. When he saw Carter ride the bike, he's like, whoa. I'm like, well, son, you got to practice. And then he went on a binge of just riding his bike all the time. And he's really good now. But he's fearless. And then I catch myself saying, oh, you sure you can do this? Oh, no, let him go. So, in fact, I told him, you're going to fall eventually. Can you imagine if I try to teach my kid how to ride the bike and say, you're never going to fall, you're never going to get hurt? That'd be a lie. Also, they have to fall in order to learn. So if I told my kid, if you don't fall, you're not trying hard enough. And you can say that about almost any sport. You can say that about almost anything. You know, sometimes we're scared. I think sometimes as adults, we're just scared to fail. Proverbs 24:16 says, for though the righteous fall seven times, they rise again. But the wicked stumble when calamity strikes. What are you going to do when calamity strikes? What are you going to do when you lose a job? I've been there. When you go bankrupt, I've been there. When you're sick, when there's death in the family, when there's divorce. This one's for the believers. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is unseen is temporary, but what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So we focus on the eternal things, not the little circumstances we have right now. One of the Wednesday devotions I shared on failure, and I don't want to elaborate too much on it now, but let me just share a couple quotes that I did on Wednesday. These are quotes you might have heard before. It says, I have not failed. I have just found 10,000 ways that it won't work. That's from Thomas Edison. Success is stumbling from failure to failure with no loss of enthusiasm. Winston Churchill. Our greatest glory is not in never failing, but in rising every time we fall. Confucius. The only real mistake is the one from which we learn nothing. Sylvia had a great sermon on that once. That quote's from Henry Ford. In the last one, it says, it is hard to fail, but it is worse never to have tried to succeed. That's Theodore Roosevelt. Can you imagine if we didn't do something because we're afraid to fail? We wouldn't get much done. Besides, how does God work? that we said earlier, God worked through trials. I mean, look at Joseph in the well, elevated to second position in Egypt. Are you afraid of failing? What is you're afraid of failing? Kids are also full of joy, are they not? Full of joy. As a matter of fact, how many of us have a hard time getting the kids out of here after church services are over? They love to fellowship. Yeah, we like to fellowship too. But sometimes the older we get, we like to stay in our cave. You know, it seems like the older you get, your radius of travel seems to be shorter and shorter. But not kids. Come on, we got to go home and do showers. They don't care. You know, adults, we sometimes forget about those little things. They mean a lot. Fellowship is really important. Without fellowship, you can't grow. God wants you to come to church. God wants you to come to meetings. God wants you to go to the events. God wants you to have fellowship with your brothers and sisters. Have we not developed some of the best friendships here? I've been here for 20-some years. This is my family. These are my friends. Be full of joy. Kids are content, are they not? I say that with the caveat. They're content until we spoil them. For those of you who might remember my testimony, I went to Nicaragua. I was welcomed by a lot of children in a little school of basically homeless kids in an encampment. And they painted all these pictures for me. It was amazing. I shared it with you before. But one thing I noticed with them is that they had very little. They had one soccer ball, a couple dolls. They had very little. But they shared everything, and they were so happy. They were so joyous. You know, we talk about these Samaritan gift boxes to the kids, and we did a few this year. Second set of kids, it was Matthew, Natalie, and Sarah, and Charisse, and now it's Josh and Annalise, and soon it'll be Maverick, making the boxes. And, you know, there's something about the boxes. As a grown-up, nothing wrong with going online, do your thing, it's okay. But there's something about physically having your kids go to Target, pick it out, make it fit, and spend a good day doing it. Make sure your kids do something like that. You know, you may not be able to take your kids to a food kitchen or some other places of need, but you can show them how to share. You can show them how other kids don't have what they have. If the kids get spoiled or entitled, it's our fault. As a matter of fact, I was telling my wife, my first set of kids, we were poor. I mean, poor. 3 kids in one room. At one point, I remember my wife didn't tell me we should go to the food bank and get enough milk to last the week. We were poor. Happy kids. Now, these kids, different story. Now, my main job, instead of feeding them, now that the Lord's blessed us pretty well, is to make sure that they grow up understanding what need is like. Not be entitled. They must be content. We must be content. There's a ton of verses here about contentment, but that's not today's message. But just a reminder, kids are a lot more content than we are. They're dependent on us, aren't they? They look to their mother and father for everything. Why? Well, they know that we're going to act in their own best interest. Kids know that they have to come to us for anything. They didn't go to the store and buy something themselves. They didn't go and get themselves a job at 10 years old. Do you know that you have a father that acts in your best interest? Are you an orphan today? I was an orphan for a long time. Don't be an orphan. Your father's waiting. Proverbs 3, 5, 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your steps. Are we directing our children's steps? More importantly, as parents and now grandparents, we must direct our children to the Lord. Not just in actions, words. They see everything we do. They see when you do your devotions. They see when you pray. They see when you lose your temper. They see everything. They're moldable, aren't they? They're coachable. Jeremiah 18:6. We all know that verse. O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. That was the Lord reminding Israel to repent. And he could do anything he wants with him. He can mold you like the potter's clay. And if you're marred before Christ, that's where it gets a lot of fun. You know, a lot of us come to Christ and we forget. Sometimes you got to tear you down before he rebuilds you. I believe this clay was very marred. There's no saving it. So what did the Lord do? He tore it down. He started from scratch. Start over. Best thing can happen to me. Many trials, many tears. Wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for all the trials. As a Christian, are we allowing the Lord to mold us? Or are we trying to take control again? Children are also humble, aren't they? And by the way, little footnote. Notice the passage talks about children, not teenagers. Something happens to their brains when they're teenagers. But they come back, don't they? As they become young adults, especially as they become parents. You know, I think part of the joy of being a grandparent is that your kid can finally get it. My mom and my grandma used to always say, you wait till you get your colchita, which means you're blinking. You wait till it's your turn. But they are humble. Matthew 18:4 reminds us Christians who have already come to Christ, but sometimes we forget. It says, therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. That was Matthew 18:4. Kids also obey by the most part. Like I said, maybe not teenagers, but kids by the most part are obedient. They also know there's consequences when they don't obey, right? Then you're a grown-up and you leave the house and you're like, wow, no consequences. You're at college, you whatever you want to do, right? Oh, there's consequences. But can you imagine you're 8 or 9 year old? Say, nah, I'm not gonna do it. I got a better way. No. Our ways are better. God's ways are better. His ways are better. They also forgive and forget a lot more readily than us. I know there's been a lot of messages of forgiveness, but you know, when I was a little kid, I was an angry little kid. My childhood wasn't perfect, but my dad left when I was little, and my mom had to raise us all, and it's hard for a woman, and I know there's a couple single parents here, and let me tell you one thing. There's nothing harder than being a single parent, especially as a woman. Because you've got to show them not just the motherly side, you've got to show them the fatherly side, too. Is it any wonder why statistically, if you look at the crime rate and the criminals are in prison. A good majority of them grew up with no father. Is that a surprise? It's no surprise. If there's not a father figure in your home, it is much harder, just ask these single moms, much harder. And statistically, you have a much bigger chance of failing. If you know anybody who doesn't have a father, maybe you could be that father figure. Pray for them. But when we were kids, I remember getting in fights all the time. I remember, and I was a little kid. I had no reason to fight. I was a little tiny punk with a big mouth. Got me a lot of trouble. You know, I remember one time, one of the biggest fights I had, I mean, it was a big fight. We became best friends. How is that that kids can fight and become best friends with their enemy? Why can't adults do that? Yeah, we'll be like, we'll forgive. Might not forget. No, Lord wants you to forgive and forget. Kids know how to do that better than any of us. If you're saved, you remember what it's like when you first came to Christ, like a child. And the Lord wants today to remind you to continue to be like a child. Continue to be like a child. And you know what? You look at the fruits of the Spirit, those are all the qualities of a child. I was an orphan before I met Christ. Don't be an orphan. If you're not saved, today could be the day. Today you can allow yourself to be a child. How would you like to be carefree on Monday? How would you like to rest all your worries on your Father, on your Heavenly Father? Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus like a little child and believe. And you will have eternal life. We know that. We know that, John 3:16. All you have to do is believe. In closing, a reminder to my brothers and sisters, just look back. Look back at the day you were saved. And as we have this holiday with kids all around you, children everywhere, be more like them. Look at their qualities of a child. And remember, God wants you to be like a child. But if you don't yet know him, he's coming to you today as his little child, saying, come to me. Come to me as you are. Don't be an orphan any longer. Come to me. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this reminder, Lord, that you are our Father. We can rest all our anxiety, all our cares on you, Lord. But Lord, if there's anybody here listening online or here that does not yet know you, oh, let them know you, Lord. Let them come to you. Let today be the day that they say, yes, I need my Father. I need my Heavenly Father. And this holiday would be so great. This Christmas would be the best Christmas ever. In your name we pray.